What this reveals to the public is really how the Egyptians decided they would make their way into the next life. This is the technology that they used, the magic that they thought they could activate to get them into eternal life. And modern technology has been brought in here as well, using CT scanning, using 3D visualization, to look underneath the wrappings of a really important Egyptian mummy. So what you see here is the mummy completely untouched in its case, and in the theatrical presentation here, you make your own exploration of that body. You unpeel the layers and see what's underneath.
People are forever fascinated by mummies and the ancient Egyptian society. But when we think mummies, a lot of the time we think the great kings of Egypt, and there are endless exhibitions about the great kings. But when we talk about this exhibition, it reveals a different part of society in ancient Egypt, doesn't it?
It does, and I think it's one that's easier for people to connect with. The great kings, very impressive, but they're kind of remote figures in a way. But here, you come face to face with the Egyptians who are, if you'd lived in ancient Egypt yourself, maybe they're the kind of people you would have been. So you really, really feel close to them. And after all, they are physically still here. It's a really strange thing that we look at these wonderful objects that they made, and the Egyptians who made them are actually present among us at the same time.
The British Museum has a world-famous Egyptian collection, and this has come from that. Tell me about the types of things that you have in the British Museum's collection.
Well, the collection in the British Museum is very, very comprehensive. We have examples of pretty well everything that survives from ancient Egypt. So not only mummies and coffins, but statues, items of daily life, furniture, clothing, jewellery, cosmetic containers. You can get a really, really comprehensive view of what life 3,000 years ago was like.
And so how then do you come to choose the pieces that are on display here this week?
Well, we choose these pieces, first of all, they need to be objects which are physically robust, which can travel halfway around the world. And also, of course, they need to be good representative examples of the really important types of objects that survive. And everything here is a very high quality specimen of its type. They're in incredibly good condition. I think people will be astonished at the level of preservation of some of these items, 3,000-4,000 years old.
As a curator, what is the process that you go through in selecting the pieces, apart from identifying what can travel and what gives a really good representation of the story that you'd like to tell? How do you go about that process?
Well, obviously, first of all, you've got to have a pretty clear narrative structure in your mind. This particular show, that's relatively easy, because what we're doing here is to tell the story of how you get from the life on Earth into the next life. And for the ancient Egyptians, there was a very clear pathway to doing that. So we follow all the different stages that they would have followed. And then what we have to do is we look at all the material in the collection in London. We choose, obviously, representative pieces, but we want pieces that are going to interact with each other in the exhibition. So we need to make sure that we're not duplicating too much of the same kind of imagery or inscriptions. We want things that will pick up different aspects of the subject. And I think that's working very well here, you know, because the objects are kind of speaking to each other as well.
When you curate an exhibition like this and you travel from across the world to come here, do you have a master plan and you say, I'd like it to look like this, or is it sometimes a surprise when you get to a city and see it set up?
Well, often what we do is we send a list of the objects in the groupings that we think they should be arranged in, but we don't specify exactly how they're laid out within the exhibition space. So to a large extent, that is determined by the venue, in dialogue with the British Museum, of course. But it means that when somebody like me comes out here, I don't know quite what I'm going to see. And it's a very pleasant surprise often. And here I think the objects are looking really great because they work really well together. Just earlier today when I came in, I noticed that there's a headrest in the exhibition, which has been positioned at the head of one of the mummies. And that is actually a very good way to display it, because you can actually see how the shape of the headrest fits underneath the head of the mummy very well. We hadn't suggested that, but the designers here decided to arrange them in that way. So really, every time you see a different exhibition, you see something different. Even in familiar objects, you see a different aspect of them.
It's I think Brisbane audiences are really going to love this. I just wanted to talk really briefly about maybe you could say the star of the show. Can you tell me a little bit about the mummy that people will probably hear a lot about?
Okay, the star of the show is a priest called Nez Perenoub. And his mummy is one of the best preserved in the British Museum collection. Very important one, because we know a lot about this man. So he's not just a mummy, he is a historical figure, and we know about his life. And from looking under the wrappings using the 3D technology, we can see every aspect of what is in there. So we can look at his body, we can work out how old he was when he died, we can see all the objects that they placed under the bandages to protect him in the next life. And there are odd things here as well. There's, on top of his head, is a clay bowl inverted over the back part of his skull. Very strange. We've never seen anything like that anywhere else on an Egyptian mummy. And we think that actually what this represents is a bit of a botched job of embalming, where they accidentally got this bowl stuck with sticky resin onto his head, and they couldn't remove it, so they wrapped him up quickly and left it inside. And that is a really interesting kind of human interest aspect of this whole process. We think of the ancient Egyptians as a people governed by ritual. Everything has to be done in a very careful way. That's true. But that's the theoretical side of it. The practical side is they were very human. They made mistakes like anybody else. So what do you do if you've got a bowl stuck on a priest's head? You wrap him up quickly and put him in the tomb.
And hope that in thousands of years nobody's going to notice.
Absolutely. And they got away with it, as far as we know, until 3,000 years later.